I gave you fair warning last weekend that Lent will soon be upon us, and now we're just 3 days away. So it's really crunch time to start thinking and preparing for this holy season. This is the last Sunday I'll be wearing green for quite a long time. And we know Lent always starts off with a bang. We have Ash Wednesday this coming week. Then we have our first Friday of Lent with our fish fry, or fish bake, rather, here at our church. Then we have Vespers on Sunday. We start off with lots of different practices. So I just wanted to give you some reminders of those. On every Friday of Lent, we abstain from meat. We do that on Ash Wednesday as well. But this is a law, a command from the church that all those who are 14 years and older abstain from meat on all those Fridays and on Ash Wednesday. Now, if you're under 14, don't be rejoicing. I think it's something that we probably all do. So the strict law is 14 and over, but I invite everyone as you're able to follow that practice. Then, of course, there are two big fasting days during Lent. The first one being this Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, and the next being Good Friday, that day in which we remember our Lord's death. So those are the fasting days that we restrict the food that we intake. We just have two small snacks and then a regular meal on that day. This is for anyone who's 18 years of old to 59 years old. Again, that's the strict law. But if you fall outside those ages, we could probably all do it. So I invite you. These are the ways that we customarily celebrate this holy season of Lent. And then, of course, each of us individually thinks about something I want to offer up or something I want to do. But Lent becomes, I don't know, something constitutive to who we are as Catholic Christians. It kind of becomes our reputation, especially in what we don't do. People look at us, you know, the ashes on our forehead, eating our tuna sandwiches. Okay, those Catholics, they're known for what they don't do. They don't eat meat. They don't do certain things. And this can become kind of our reputation, what people see us in the practice of our faith. I even think of this as we look at some of the scriptures today and as we've been marching through some of these scriptures the last few weeks. Today we have this first reading from the book of Leviticus. Maybe when you heard that this morning, you think, here we go, Leviticus. It's that book of laws, that book of the things we don't do. It comes as the third book in the Torah. Those first five books of the Hebrew Bible. And it's actually the book that Jewish children would start reading and learning first. Their parents would say, okay, you have to learn the rules. You have to learn the law. And so we need to start training you on this first. If you've ever read this book, maybe it was in starting to read the whole Bible in a year or something. You read Genesis, the first book. Wow, there's a lot of stories in here. This is great. I'm going to keep going. Exodus. Wow, this is continually exciting. And then you get to Leviticus, the third book, and you think, why'd I start this in the first place? This is heavy. This is hard to understand. It's a lot of negative legislation. Don't eat this. Don't touch this. Don't look at that. Don't listen to this. Don't use your body in this way. Don't smoke this. Don't even think of that. Don't get near these things. Leviticus is this negative legislation on a whole. It's all the things that we would say, thou shalt not. And like I said, that can become, I don't know, kind of our reputation or the way that people define us by the things we don't do. But I think we're more than that. I think we're more than just not eating meat. I think we're more than not eating candy or not doing these list of negative laws. I think ultimately we want to be known for what we do, what we're for, not what we're against. You know, last week in the gospel, Jesus, like Moses, he was pointing to a lot of thou shalt nots, a lot of negative legislation. Jesus goes up on the mountain for this big sermon in Matthew's 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount. Last week we had him giving us all these laws. You've heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, whoever looks at a woman with lust in his heart, he's already committed adultery. Jesus, like Moses, gives commands. He gives laws. He gives prohibitions, like the book of Leviticus, like the old law. But then he does something new. He doesn't stay on the negative legislation. He starts giving us positive legislation. Not what we shouldn't do, but what we're invited to do. And God has done this from the beginning, even though we might get hung up on the things we can't do. Even in the book of Leviticus, God does this. He says about a half a dozen times a phrase that we heard today in this reading. Amidst all of the laws and the rules and the prohibitions, God says about a half a dozen times, and remember, be holy, for the Lord your God is holy. He keeps repeating that. After all these laws, all these rules, and remember, be holy, for the Lord your God is holy. That's a positive law. It's something that we can do, not something that we shouldn't do. And Jesus does something in the gospel very similar. After all these words he speaks, he says, be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect. A positive legislation, something that we want to be known for. We want to be known not just for what we don't do. We want to be known for what we do. We want to be holy. We want to be perfect. But if it stays on this generic level, I think it's very hard to practice. Okay, be holy, be perfect. What's that look like? How can I ever attain that? How can I ever imitate God's holiness, God's perfection? So they spell it out for us. In the book of Leviticus today, we heard a very direct example of this. Love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, that's a way that I can be holy, by loving my neighbor. We heard in the psalm here, we sang it back and forth, the Lord is kind and merciful. Now, when sometimes we say that too fast or we sing it, it kind of sounds like the Lord is kind of merciful. Wait, what do we just say? No, the Lord is kind and merciful. And so if that's something the Lord is, he's kind, he's merciful. Those are things I can imitate. Okay, in being holy and being perfect, I can try to imitate God's kindness. I can strive to imitate his mercy. These are specifics. Jesus lists more today in the gospel. Turn the other cheek. Hand over your cloak if someone asks for your tunic. Be generous. Go the extra mile. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. This is positive legislation that Jesus invites us to. It's a way that we strive for perfection. It's a way that we imitate our Lord's holiness. And so I want to encourage us, even during the season of Lent, as we think of the things we don't do, we also think of the things that we do and the ways that we're invited to imitate our Lord. Okay, the Lord loves my enemies. Maybe I should give that a try. The Lord's kind, he's merciful, he turns the other cheek, he's generous, he doesn't hold grudges. Maybe I should try that. And one by one, try putting these things in practice with God's grace, with his timely help. This is, brothers and sisters, the way that we remember we're temples of God. We're temples of the Holy Spirit. It's what St. Paul tells the Corinthians today. He reminds them, look, God dwells in you. And if he dwells in you, then you should look like him. We should practice the things that he practices. We should do the things that he does. These are ways that we become disciples, followers, Christians who are imitating our leader. Now, I mentioned a few weeks ago, some parishioners and I were on this new team with the Archdiocese, and we're going to training over these 7 weeks, discipleship training. And so we were together this past Tuesday listening to a talk from Jeff Cavins, and I really took that to heart. We were given these commitment cards, and on week two of the commitment card, Jeff Cavins invited our team to look at the 7 days of each week and to think of the 7 deadly sins. Maybe you've heard those before. Pride, greed, envy, anger, lust, gluttony, sloth. These thou shalt nots, these things that remove us from relationship with God. He said, think of those 7 deadly sins, one each day, and then try to practice the virtue that corresponds to each. On Wednesday, when you're thinking of pride, strive to be humble. On Thursday, when you look at greed, instead of being greedy, try to practice charity. On Friday, instead of being envious of others, maybe you practice kindness. If you saw me on Friday and you wondered, man, Father Chad's being really kind today, you have Jeff Cavins to thank. I tried to do this each day. Saturday, compassion. Today, purity. Tomorrow, temperance. Tuesday, diligence. These 7 virtues that match the 7 deadly sins. And when I took this one bite at a time, one examination at a time, it was easier to reflect and practice God's holiness and his perfection. I'm not perfect yet, but I'm trying, and I want to be, and I'm asking his help. And so this is what I want to invite us to. Over these weeks of Lent that are coming upon us, starting on Wednesday, as we examine the things we don't do, let's look at the things that we want to do. Let's look at our imitation of Jesus, our imitation of his virtues. Maybe you want to take one of those virtues a day like I've been doing, or you look at some practical, concrete way that your life begins to look more like Jesus. And so let's imitate him in these next days. Let's bring that presence of God to the world that so desperately needs him.